We're just opening up the Word of God then in Psalm number 3, a short psalm. Psalm of David, and Psalm 3 says this: Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept, I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. And just a couple of verses in a little book of Job, which just comes before the book of Psalms. Job chapter 5. Job 5. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept, I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. And just a couple of verses in a little book of Job, which just comes before the book of Psalms. Job chapter 5. Job 5 and verse number 7. In this chapter, it's a man called Eliphaz who's speaking. And in Job 5, verse number 7, a little phrase that maybe you can recognize from your own life. Verse 7 of Job 5 says this: Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. An inevitable part of life, said Eliphaz, that man is born to trouble. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And in view of the trouble of life, Eliphaz has a piece of advice, and it's the advice really that I'm interested in rather than the troubles. We've got enough troubles, but the advice is particularly helpful. Look at the advice that Eliphaz gives because there's so much trouble in life. Here's the advice Eliphaz gives, verse 8 of Job 5. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. Man born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Well, Eliphaz, do you have any advice for us? I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. And we'll look to God to give help as we think about these things together tonight. Psalm number 3 deals with a man and his God. A man and his God. And maybe it is the case, you see, in your life that you have come to see your need of God. Maybe you have come to see that there is something in your life that cries out for God. In one of the other Psalms, Psalm number 42, the psalmist describes, we've often quoted from it, the need of the human soul for God. It's like the thirst that a deer has as it goes to the water brook on a warm day, a bit like the day that we're in. And says the psalmist, as the deer pants after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O my God. And maybe in your life you have recognized that there is an emptiness in your life and you're seeking God. Maybe too in your life you have seen that not only is there a part of your life that desperately needs God, but perhaps too you have also seen that there is a real serious need. A real serious need for your sins to be removed and for you to be ready to meet God. You've come to that point in your life where you are no longer able just to pretend that everything's all right. And you're not able any longer just to pretend that you'll never die and you'll never meet God. But perhaps that has burdened upon your heart and upon your soul that you know one day you will face God. And you're taking seriously the words of Scripture, because there's wrath, beware. You know that a man or a woman who comes before God in sin is a man or a woman who is condemned. And you have upon your soul a burden and a desire to know God and to meet God. Well, that's why we've read Psalm number 3. For in Psalm number 3, we find a man, and he's going to come to his God. And I want to show you the steps that a man or a woman goes through in order to find God. And we're going to see that there are three very simple steps in Psalm number 3 in finding God. In Psalm number 3, it begins with trouble. That's important. For there is often and almost always trouble in a human soul before they are ever going to come to God. But if everything's going fine with our life, then we're happy with our life. If everything's okay, then we just kind of tick along. But one of the very first things that happens in a human life before we come to the Lord is that there's trouble. We'll think a little bit about that. And the second thing that happens in this psalm, Psalm number 3, is that having gone through a period of trouble in his soul, the psalmist comes to the second great point that you and I have to come to if we're going to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. He comes to a point of trust. The Word of God, you see, says this, that it's by grace we're saved through faith. How is it I'm saved? I'm saved by putting my trust and my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Said the Apostle Paul to a man who was seeking the Lord, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So we begin in this psalm the same way that every human soul who's seeking God begins. We begin with trouble in our soul. And maybe your soul's troubled. Troubled maybe with sin, troubled with emptiness, troubled with brokenness, troubled with fear. You're troubled as a human being is troubled. And what you need is trust. You have to put your trust and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Three little steps we said in this psalm. Verses 1 and 2 begins with trouble. And verses 3 down to about verse 6, we're going to find that the psalmist puts his trust in the Lord. And in verse 7 and 8, he finds triumph, for he finds a God who is a Saviour. Verse number 8, salvation belongs to the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. How is it that I might be saved? Well, the Word of God says that to be saved, there is nothing that I can do. To be saved, it is not something that I can offer to the Lord. It's not something that I can work at. It's not a process. Salvation comes from the Lord. Salvation is something that I receive of the Lord. And the Word of God promises me this, that if I will call upon his name, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And here's a man, and he's called upon the name of the Lord. He's put his trust in the Lord, and he has found a Saviour. So three little steps I want just to highlight there. In Psalm number 3, three steps that you will find in your life if you're going to get to grips with the Lord. Trouble and trust and triumph as we find the Lord as our Saviour. I noticed too, you know, in this little psalm that the first part of it deals with a great enemy, an overwhelming enemy. And as the psalmist is going through his life, he faces an overwhelming enemy. He faces an enemy he describes there in verses number 2 and 3. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Verse 1, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. In this psalm, it deals with a great enemy, an overwhelming enemy. Something that the psalmist is unable to cope with. Something that the psalmist by himself is unable to deal with. And in the face of an overwhelming enemy, he finds resource. And he finds resource by turning to the Lord. He finds resource in an all-powerful God. I want just to present that truth to you this evening, you know, that in the face of the great enemies that you and I face as human beings, overwhelming enemies, enemies that you and I can do nothing about by ourselves, the great enemy of death, the Bible tells us what we know, I suppose, from everyday experience, that it is appointed unto a man once to die. You and I face great enemies as part and parcel of our human being, part and parcel of being a human being, and part and parcel of our humanity. We're born, and as soon as we're born, we're faced with death. Overwhelming enemy. Bible tells me too that as I live my life, I live in the power of Satan. Overwhelming enemy. And my life is corrupted, it's broken, it's burdened, and it's pulled down by sin and by the lust of my flesh. And there I am, captured by sin.
looking forward to death, and I have these overwhelming enemies. And we can find in this psalm what we find in the rest of the Word of God, that the only way out of these overwhelming enemies, the only victory that I can have, is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, is by coming to the Lord. Great problem, sin. Great problem, death. Great problem, one day we're going to meet God and He's going to judge us for our sin. For that great problem, we need a great Saviour. You will find that great Saviour in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Says the Word of God, there is only one Saviour. Only one person who's able to meet me in my need. Only one person who's able to meet me in my emptiness, in my brokenness. Only one person who's able to save me from my sins. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only the Saviour, you see, who died for me at Calvary. It's only the Saviour who loved me so much that He died for me at the cross. Only Christ who allowed Himself to be nailed by His hands and by His feet. Only the Saviour who was wounded for my transgressions, who was bruised for my iniquity. Only the Lord Jesus Christ who was raised again by the power of the Spirit of God from the grave. And so it's only the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save me. So the Word of God, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby I must be saved. Only one Saviour. And here in this lovely psalm, in the face of an overwhelming enemy, maybe you feel that tonight, a real burden, a problem that you cannot cope with, a real fear of the future, a fear of meeting God, you're looking forward to death, you're bound by sin and by Satan, well, we can point you to an all-powerful God, a God who's able to save us. A God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Word of God tells me, He's able to save to the uttermost. He's able to save me now, and He's able to keep on saving me. He's able to deal with death, for He was raised again from the dead. He's able to forgive my sin, for He died for my sin at the cross of Calvary. He is able to deal with the judgment that hangs upon me, for Christ has suffered for my sin. And He's able to meet me in my need. What a Saviour. And in this lovely psalm, we want to see that this psalmist, he comes back to the Lord. And we want to speak about a fresh start tonight, a fresh start. And this psalmist, you know, in many ways he has a fresh start. He starts from that burden. He starts from that trouble. And he comes again to place his trust in the Lord. And he finds that there's salvation and triumph in his God. Well, look there at verses number 1 and 2, the trouble that he faces, the trouble that he faces. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. You know, it's a strange thing, isn't it? That it's often trouble in our life that brings us to the Lord Jesus. I was just thinking, before I came to the meeting today, I was just thinking about some of the folks that came to the Lord Jesus in the Gospels. I was thinking particularly of the wee Gospel called John's Gospel. And the folks that came, you know, there was hardly one that came that didn't come against a background of trouble, problems and difficulties. There was somebody that came to the Saviour at a wedding because there was trouble at the wedding. They'd run out of wine. Then there was a father who came and he had trouble with his son. His son was at the point of death and so he came to the Lord Jesus. There was another man and he was lame. He couldn't walk and so he was there for to come to the Lord Jesus as well. There was another group who were hungry and they were in need of food. They had trouble, they had problems, and that brought them to the Lord Jesus. There were two sisters and they had a brother who was nearly dead, and so that brought them to the Lord Jesus. And it's often the case, isn't it, in life, that we look at our troubles and our difficulties and our problems, and we say, you know, I wish we would never have had these troubles and those difficulties. And yet it is so often these troubles and those problems and difficulties that bring us to the Lord. And in this psalm, psalm number 3, we find that the psalmist is crying to the Lord, and he's crying against a background of troubles. He sees his need for the Lord, you see. The first step, isn't it, to finding Christ and to being saved. To see our need of the Saviour. To see that we need to come to Christ. To see that we have a great need in our life for the person of the Lord Jesus. To see that our need, that our life is empty, that it is void. To see that we really need Christ to fill our soul and satisfy our soul. And to see indeed that we need the Saviour. We need Him desperately. We need Him in our lives. And we need His power to forgive our sin. Whatever our trouble might be in our lives at the moment, the Bible tells us that lying ahead there is further trouble. what I think Eliphaz was thinking about, you know, that man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upwards. The further our life goes on, you know, the closer we get to the final trouble. It is appointed, says the word of God. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. It might be that in my life I have had trouble and difficulties. I'll tell you, they are there in my life that they might bring me to the Lord. For at the end of my life there is trouble. There is trouble for any sinner that stands in the presence of a holy God in his sin. There is great trouble for any soul that dies unprepared to meet the Lord. There is great trouble for any soul that is still a sinner, and there they stand in the presence of a holy God, a God that cannot look upon iniquity, a God that is of holier eyes than to behold sin, a God that must separate sin from his presence, and there an unsaved soul, without a Saviour, still in their sin, dead, in trespasses and sin, and they stand before a holy God. There's trouble. But here's a psalmist. And in his life, trouble has brought him to that point where he's ready to call upon the Lord. You know, if you're maybe just at the brink tonight, just wavering as the psalmist is here in the first two verses, wavering as to what he should do, can I tell you this, that if you're just wavering and wondering whether or not you should move forward for the Lord, be prepared for criticism and be prepared for folks who will put you off. Did you see here? Here's the psalmist. He's in difficulties and problems, and his heart is going out towards the Lord. Should I take that step of trust? But here's the critics, you see. Here's the critics. As a man, as a soul that's being burdened, as a soul that's being drawn to the Lord, many there be, verse 2, which say of my soul, there's no help for him. There's no help for him in the Lord. Here's the critics coming in, you see. You'll find that too, don't you, in the Word of God, that as folks are drawn to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's barriers come in. There's problems come in. There are things that come in to put folks off. A wee man, you see, Zacchaeus, he wants to come to the Lord, and there's a crowd, and it keeps him away. There's folks that want to come to the Lord, and there's persecution and difficulties. You'll find that in Acts of the Apostles, and they come in to keep folks away. There's a man, Lot, you read about him in the Old Testament, he wants to live for the Lord, and he's got a wife, you know, that is just not interested, and she'll just kind of drag him away. Says the folks round about, listen, you're thinking about putting your trust in the Lord. Listen, won't work for you. There's no help for him. It's just all kid on, you see. The critics are there, putting him off. Be prepared for that. If you're thinking serious thoughts about your soul, and you're getting to grips with the fact that one day you're going to meet God, with the fact that God has made you, with the fact that you need to be saved, with the great truth that Christ has died on the cross for your sins, and that he offers to save you, and that's beginning to burden you, it's beginning to burn into your heart, and you're beginning to see your need of the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ that died on the cross for your sin, and you're beginning to see your need to be ready to meet God. Beware for things that will come in and distract you and discourage you. Saviour spoke about them, you know. Spoke about the good seed of the gospel being sown, and there it's sown in the ground, and oh, things come in to choke it, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things, and so many things that will come in and just crowd out the voice of God as he would speak to the human soul. And if God is speaking to you, if the Lord Jesus Christ has been speaking to your soul, the Spirit of God has been burdening you about your sin, and you really know that you need to come to Christ, you really know that you need to come and confess your sin and repent of your sin and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour and live for him, and you know that that is what the Lord would have for you, but prepared for like the psalmist, you'll have those, you know, and they'll come and they'll try and discourage and they'll try and put you off. But here's a man and the background there is of trouble. But you notice here, verses 3 to 6, you notice that he moves on. He moves on in trust. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. You say, Stuart, how is it that I really might move forward for the Lord? How is it that I might just get right with the Lord? And you know, sometimes folks go on for months or for years just trying to work out how it is that I might be saved. sometimes we find it a difficult thing. How is it that I can receive salvation? I understand that I need to be saved. I understand that my sin will keep me out of heaven. I appreciate indeed that Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross for my sins. But how can it be real for me? Trust. Faith. And here right in the heart of this little psalm, psalm number 3, we find that great step of trust, of faith. There's a lovely promise, you know, in the Word of God in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. It's a lovely promise about the simplicity of the way that God can save a soul. Here's the promise. For he that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How can I be saved? He that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here's a soul, you see. A soul that sees their need of salvation. A soul that sees that they're a sinner before a holy and a righteous God. A soul that just has come to see that Christ has died on the cross for their sin. That sees indeed that there's a Christ who loved them and who died for them at Calvary. And they want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to be saved. How can I be saved? You don't need a preacher. And you don't need a church. Says the psalmist, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Says the apostle Paul in the book of Romans, he that calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You want to be saved? You can get that sorted out tonight with the Lord. You want to be saved? You can get that sorted out just between you and the Lord. Just a cry. A cry from a sincere heart. A cry from a heart that is repentant of its sin. A cry in faith. A cry in simple faith to the Lord. Believing and receiving Christ as Saviour. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. What a difference it made. Did you see that? Verses 5 and 6. Yeah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Here's a man in the midst of all of his troubles, in the midst of his enemies, surrounded by enemies, but he's put his trust in the Lord. Here's the difference it makes. Here's a man, you see, resting and trusting in his God. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. From trouble to trust. And did you notice here, at the end of this lovely psalm, he finds a saviour, he finds triumph. Verse 7. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. A man that realizes the source of salvation. What does it mean to be saved? Well, here's a man in danger. You're in danger. If you're in danger, you need to be saved. You're in danger, you see, because you're a sinner. Because you're going to die. Because you're going to meet God. And if I die in my sin, the Word of God tells me that I will be lost forever. I'm in danger. But there is a Saviour. A Saviour. I need to be saved because I'm a sinner. Because I'm in danger. And there is a Saviour who is able to save me because he's died for my sin. The great message of the Gospel. Understand Mr. McClatchy spoke in Luke 23 last week. And Luke 23 is that tremendous chapter where we have described for us the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I need a Saviour. And here is someone who is able to save me. Why? Because he's died for me. He's died for me at the cross of Calvary. He suffered for my sins. The just, the perfect. For me, the unjust. He's taken my place. Those sins and that punishment that ought to have belonged to me, the Lord Jesus Christ took them. He voluntarily went to the cross at Calvary. And he offered up himself, says the Word of God, as a sacrifice for sin. He went and he received the punishment for my sin. That means he's able to save. He's able to forgive. He is able to take away the punishment and the guilt and the burden of my sin. And as a Saviour who's been raised again from the dead, he's able to keep me. He's a Saviour who I'm able to get to know. a Saviour whom I am able to speak to, a Saviour who is able to speak to me through His Word, a Saviour who is able to save me now, and says the Word of God, because He ever lives, He is able to save me right the way through to eternity. What a Saviour. Salvation is indeed of the Lord. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Salvation is something that comes when I put my trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when I repent of my sin and I ask the Saviour into my life. What a lovely psalm indeed. A psalm of a fresh start. Begins with trouble, turmoil in the life of the psalmist. He moves on to trust. He recognises indeed that he must place his trust in God. And he comes to that point of finding salvation. Only one name given under heaven, given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. The lovely name of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we were away for a few days in the Costa del Sol, and when we were there, we were thinking about an old friend of ours. Some of you remember Ernie. Some of you never met Ernie, but Ernie was a man in his 80s, for those that never met him. And he came along to meetings in New Cumnock in about 2001, and he heard the gospel, and he was saved, and he was in his 80s. And we were thinking a little bit about him when we were out there, because that's where he stayed. Ernie's dead now. But Ernie used to write me a lot of letters just after he got saved. They were remarkable letters, because he was a man who had no background in Christian things. He was about 80 before he heard the gospel, and he'd lived quite a rough, quite a wild life. And, you know, those letters that I got for the last 2 or 3 years of his life, you would think the man had been a Christian for 50, 60 years. Tremendous. They were full of the Lord. They were full of what he'd been reading in the scriptures. A tremendous change in his life. I want to read just a little section from one of his letters to you tonight. It's very interesting. Thinking about a man here in Psalm number 3. A man who's just tottering on the brink, you see. A man who feels that his life is in need of the Lord. He's in need of Christ. He sees that indeed there are so many difficulties and problems. He sees indeed that he needs the Lord in his life to deal with these overwhelming enemies, great enemies of sin, of death, and of judgment. There's only one Saviour. And he's just tottering on the brink. He needs to, like that, cry out to the Lord in salvation. I want to read to you something that Ernie wrote to me a number of years ago now. He said this: I am so sad that I never came to the Lord Jesus earlier in my life. For I can look back and see where my life could have been altered had that been the case. However, I am also so glad that God came for me when he did, and that I have eternal life to look forward to. It is such a comfort to know that when I leave this life, I shall commence a new and better one. Ernie, a few weeks after that, was found dead in his bed reading his Bible. But the point is this, that so many of us reach a point in our life just tottering on the brink. And we need to make a decision. Ernie was glad that he made the right decision. He wished he could have made it 20, 30 years before then. And here's the psalmist, and he's there, in a sense, in verses 1 and 2 of this psalm. Burdened with his difficulties and troubles. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. He's burdened there, his soul is in turmoil. But the Saviour's only a cry away. Verse number 4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. A Saviour who is listening. A Saviour who is able to hear me. A Saviour that knows the very thoughts and intentions of my heart. A Saviour that has known and watched all of my life from the very moment I was born, and he is listening, and he is waiting for that cry, a cry of faith. He's waiting for that cry that tells him that I'm ready to put my trust in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Saviour for sinners, a Saviour who loved me, and a Saviour who died for me at the cross of Calvary, and the only Saviour who's able to save me. Said the Saviour in John 14, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. One Saviour. One Saviour who died for me. One Saviour who's able to save me. And tonight, he's listening for a cry. I cried unto the Lord, said the psalmist. A cry from his heart. A cry to the Lord, to the only Saviour that is able to save. And tonight we pray that we might indeed come in simple, trusting faith to
the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sin. Shall we pray?
Our Father, we do just come before Thee. We thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee, our Father, for these words of the psalmist. We thank our Father of the difficulties and the turmoil of the human condition. We thank our Father of so many overwhelming enemies that are there against us. We think of death. We think, our Father, of sin. And we think of the reality of one day meeting Thee in judgment. How we thank Thee, our Father, indeed for a Saviour.
We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved.
We thank Thee, our Father, for a Saviour who loved us and who gave Himself for us as a sacrifice at the cross of Calvary. And we ask our Father tonight that any that are in two minds as to whether or not to cry and to trust the Saviour tonight, they would come, our Father, in faith, repentant of sin, and cry, our Father, to Thee for salvation.
Bless Thy word, our Father. Bless the reading of Scripture. We know that whenever we read Thy word, there is blessing. And so we pray that Thou bless us. And we pray, our Father, for souls to be saved, as we ask for these things.